Here is the general manager of the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Here's George McPhee. We're talking about you behind your back, but you were listening, right?
Yes, I was. Thank you very much.
Did you
trying to be helpful? Yeah, that's all.
Job on Hitch.
Yeah.
Did you learn anything from that?
Sure did.
Yeah, sure.
You did. Yeah. I gotta find someone that can sell the game.
Well, do you believe that?
I do. Yeah. It's certainly part of the equation.
In Vegas, especially, George, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean,
and Bob, you were absolutely right about that market and about the people there and what a lovely place to live. It's been fantastic. And so it's everything you said it would be.
Yeah. It is a good place. People don't understand Las Vegas. People don't rent cars. They don't drive anywhere. They walk a block in each direction on the strip.
Yeah, they go on the strip.
They don't understand that there's a real community out there of real people, and most of them caring people. And
so, George, are you saying that in the short time you've been there, you've now learned more about the city than you knew before you took the job?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had no idea it was this nice. I'm like the other 40 million tourists that knows how to walk up and down the strip and go to shows and do different things. But out where we are in Summerlin, where we're building the practice facility, it's a fantastic area.
It is, isn't it? I live, George. Mm. I lived in Summerlin. That's where my house was. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're right in Willow Creek.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah. So there are great places to run and great parks and play tennis and and great trails, and you go out to Red Rock Canyon National Park. I took my daughter out there the other day. It just blew her away. It was such a really neat area. So,
did you do the drive? Did you do the 11-mile drive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. We stopped a few times and did a little rock climbing, but but we, just driving around. I was hoping to see some wild horses or mules, or donkeys, but didn't see any on that trip. But it was really neat.
So you must be feeling increasingly confident that you're going to be able to sell this place as a place to live to players and their families.
That's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt, Damian. That's, if you put it all together, we've got a great arena right on the strip, like just a fantastic arena that's built for hockey. And then 20 minutes away in this quiet, beautiful suburb, we've got this fantastic practice facility going up. It's easy to get everywhere. It's easy to get to the airports. The weather's nice. There's no traffic to speak of. There's no state tax. And we feel like, the question you always ask yourself is, do we have a chance to win? And with the resources the owner has and all of those elements that I've just talked about, when you add in the final piece, which is the fan base, we had 16,000 deposits for tickets, for season tickets. We've converted 14,000 already. 98% of them were sold to local people that bought in blocks of like 2 to 8. We don't have casinos and shopping centers coming in and buying a block of 50 or 100. We've sold them to locals. And so the support has been amazing. So if we do our jobs and put the right pieces in place in terms of a team, we can win. And that's what most players want, is that opportunity to win.
With George McPhee, who's the general manager of the Las Vegas Golden Knights, I got to ask you this, and I because it's been topical. You guys go in there and you think you've got the market basically to yourselves. Not that it was going to be easy, but no other major professional sports franchise there. And all of a sudden, here come potentially the Oakland Raiders and the National Football League. And that deal is in jeopardy right now. But I'm wondering what kind of conversations you and your owner had during that period. Was there a kind of a uh-oh moment?
Well, we certainly would have loved to have the market to ourselves. In sort of analyzing what it would mean if they came into town, we don't think it would affect us in ticket sales. And in many areas, we're already embedded and we're there, and we think we're doing all the right things. Where it might hurt us a little bit is in sponsorship. In those dollars.
Right.
It's a concern, but I think, you know, our ticket sales have been so strong, and we're largely a gate-driven business, so I think we're going to be fine if they're in the market. Right now, who knows what's going on there? It looks like it's unraveling a little bit, but I think we're going to be fine either way.
George, you got a lot of things to deal with trying to build this hockey team. One of the things, and being in L.A. on the weekend, talking to Luke Robitaille, and they talked at length about how they've tried to increase player registration just in general, develop young hockey, junior Kings, junior Sharks, junior Ducks, and develop high school hockey, with the thinking being, well, the Minnesota model works pretty well as a way to get kids to play and then go on to college. Have you guys talked a lot, and have you done anything yet, or are you thinking of doing things in the way of grassroots participation, or are you dealing with the NHL team first and you'll have to get to that stuff later?
Well, we're already working on it, Damian. I'm not involved in it a whole lot right now because I have a few other things to do, but we're certainly aware of how important that is to develop the grassroots level. And I can only go on the experience that we had here in Washington. Once we got going here, I thought we did a heck of a job at the grassroots level and got to the point where all of the minor hockey slots were sold out here for a while. When I first came to town, there may have been 10 or 12 high schools playing hockey here. There are over 200 now in this area. It is it's amazing what's happened. My daughter's high school started hockey 4 years ago with about six or eight other high schools, all just girls' teams. And, they could hardly stand up. They could hardly play, but they loved it. Now her high school alone has three teams. So we would love to be able to develop that. You know how critical that is to your market and to hockey in general. And we'd love to be the next team that develops someone like Matthews. You know, the kid grew up in Arizona, and he's not playing baseball or football. He's playing hockey. And we'd like to do the same thing with some of the athletes in our area.
You know, it's interesting because we the structure of hockey in Canada, as you know, George, is completely different. It isn't school related in any way, shape, or form.
Generally speaking.
Yeah. As a general rule. I mean, if you're going to develop as a hockey player, you develop through the minor programs, and they have nothing to do with schools. I mean, Right. Yes, there are teams, schools have teams.
Yep. No, you're right.
But it's not part of the developmental system. And yet, in many parts of the United States, it is school related, not unlike football.
That's why
baseball,
I mentioned Minnesota is the
basketball.
Yeah.
Do you see that as the most logical step in Vegas, is to try and get the schools to develop hockey programs and then teams and then competitive leagues amongst themselves? Is that the best way to go?
Yeah. Well, ideally we'd like to have both at some point. We'd like to have house leagues run by the communities. We'd like to have the travel teams, but getting the schools would be important too. And I my son grew up in the Maryland area and did both. He played house league, he played on a travel team, and he played for his middle school.
Right.
He left the area to go up to Shattuck. All the high schools are playing here. It just wasn't at the level of Shattuck. So we'd like to be able to do both, and we've seen both here. We'd love to get all the schools behind us.
I don't know if you know the answer to this question, George, but have you talked to UNLV? Does UNLV even have a hockey program? I'm not aware of it. They do?
Yeah, they do, and the plan is to use our facility.
Oh, really?
We're building a locker room for them in our practice facility.
Because Arizona State now has Division I. So I assume UNLV is not Division I, though?
It would be, yes.
Oh. So that maybe things are changing.
If it isn't already, it's being phased in, and it might be in a year or two.
Yeah, a lot of those, as just to explain to our listeners, a lot of the universities, if they don't have Division I, they basically have a club team that plays out of the university.
Right.
Raven's
been working on that for quite some time.
Okay.
It was a great idea to have them have, you know, a locker room in our facility. Yeah.
We were talking with Elliot Friedman. You heard the tail end of it, and the speculate, or he was saying, is it correct to say that you are going to be basically open for business and able to participate on March 1st? And if that is the date, what will you be able to do and what won't you be able to do?
Well, we're hoping that by March 1st, you know, if it just happens to be the trading deadline, that we could maybe get involved in some things at the deadline to see if there's, you know, the clubs that want to do something but are worried about us. If they want to do something, it can be done. We can agree to some deals. We could sign college or junior free agents. And again, you know, I get to go to the managers' meetings early in March. So
right.
It'd be nice to be open for that kind of business sooner than later. And
what will determine whether March 1st is the date?
Making our final payment.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we got to talk to Bill is what you're saying.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Where's the check, Bill?
that's all in the works, and it's only a couple $100 million.
Jobs changed a little bit since you took your first job as a general manager,
yeah,
George.
It's only a
the dollars are a little
million.
Bigger, aren't they?
Yeah.
Ain't no kidding.
Yeah, a lot more zeros.
Yep.
Well, listen, we won't take any more of your time. We know you got a coach to hire. Do you have a target date for when you have your coach on board? Do you think it's important to get him early?
Well, we thought it, you know, back in September when we were thinking about this, we thought, you know, we can wait until the spring to see what might be available. We can take our time. It's a very important hire
yep.
in a lot of ways. You know, we emphasize getting a veteran coach who can sort of bring in a sense of calm and a plan to work with a young team that's going to work its way up. The plan hasn't changed. We're certainly mindful of what's going on out there right now. It's sometimes hard in the season if you have to make a change. It's a rush, and you know we have a little time, so we're trying to use it, and we'll just keep an eye on things and see where it takes us. But the spring was the plan and still is, but we'll see what develops.
I'm glad to hear you're assimilating to the city of Las Vegas. I think you'll love it. I said that last time we talked, and I'm glad
already
to hear you're in. It's a great place, and we're going to come and see you.
Yeah, McCown and I are already planning our golf trip.
Yep, we're coming down to see you.
Looking forward to it, gentlemen. Yeah, there's enough golf courses there in Summerlin, isn't there? There's like 10.
Within
5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Well, TPC is right there. I live just down the street from TPC, so you have a pretty good idea, I think, of where I was at.
Yeah.
We'll let you go, and we'll talk again soon. We'll check in with you down the road. Thanks, George, for
Thank
your time.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Thank you.